Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of fellowship, the body of Christ, the family, each other, and the privilege and honor we have to know each other, to grow together, to walk together, and in the fellowship of your great and wonderful Holy Spirit. We trust that you'd teach and guide us today as we look at your precious word, as we would witness and testify to the reality of our wonderful God and how he not only has treated us, but brought us to himself, given his life for us, and wants to share your own life with us. We give you great thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I thought we'd do, I'll ram ahead, so that we got three different things that I would like to touch on. We'll just have to see. Because of the lapse, because also of the opportune time we have coming to the end of the year, a brief assessment of kind of what we're doing, why we're here would be good, on a personal reflection for each one of us. And then we pick up back where we left off 2 weeks ago, which was making trying to define what it is that we're actually seeking, which is follow up to the first part. And then, right before we get into that, it would be we would review together and just remind each other in a serious fashion the prayers that Paul has penned in the epistles that give us a clear window into the heart of God and what he is really after for us as his children, and what it is he wants us to know. So that kind of sequence, however much we get to. So even though we want to end it in about an hour, we can leave it open-ended because we should do those things. Now, the first one I hesitated to do it, but I think we should, is a little challenging in the sense of we could address personally why each one of us, or as a group, what are we doing? Why are we here? Why do I even want to do this? We've been at it for quite a length of time. Is this what I want to spend my time in pursuit of? Which forces us to come to some sort of personal assessment. Am I getting anything out of this? Part of that, which would be a little bit more personal, is a majority of the time you guys are listening to me. Why would you do that? So, independent of it's, we're friends, independent of that, is why would I listen to somebody about this? What's the reality going on in that, or the truth of that, if you can see what I'm pushing for? And it's, each one of us need to look at that. That actually gives us a handle on, if we come out of that part of it, gives us a handle on if any one of us would begin to share some of this with somebody else. You'd be the speaker, the sharer, the teacher, if indeed that's what's going on here, and have to have a degree of confidence that what we're talking about and dealing with in the approach we're looking at the scriptures has eternal value, not just a Bible study for Christians. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so first, I thought the best way to do that would be to together as a group, I mean, why are we meeting? There's a default answer to that, but that's not what we're looking for. I mean, we are past the midterm in our lives anyways. And some of us are, well, we're not going for the final yet, but we're getting close. And so the time we give to this is a chunk out of the time in a day that the Lord gives us. In a sense, to redeem the time or to bear fruit, for looking at it from that, or just for personal value. So I'm actually looking for engagement on all of us to grapple with this a little bit, and simple question is, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to be here? Why do I want to spend my time? And then self-reflection, have I been getting anything out of this? Are we making progress? And so on. This is preempts the what is it that we're studying, of course. Okay. Anyway, so I'll leave it open-ended there, and then if you guys don't mind, I'll push us a bit.
Great.
So it's a little bit more serious than the times I've pushed this before in assessing why we're meeting. But
Do you want answers?
I do. I don't want to give you answers.
Okay.
I mean, we have to. Is this where God wants me to be, and why? And why would I be concerned if this is where God wants me to be? It has to do with our personal relationship to the Lord,
right,
and what our lives are about. And do I have a confidence? In our pursuit of the Sabbath rest and the things God is showing us, we have to have a confidence that we're on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, and again, some of us might be stumbling along not knowing what the track is. So, but the Holy Spirit is faithful and gives us things. So anyway, before I answer all those, I'm not going to answer them. You guys have to answer them.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm looking for answers.
Okay. Well, for the longest time, when the one verse in 1 John has been very challenging, where John says that we should walk or ought to walk as he walks. So I've really been looking at that. You know, what does that mean? So the first place is, well, how did he walk? How did Jesus walk? What was his human life like in his relationship with God? How he functioned, etc. And that's very challenging, because as we've been going through our studies over the last few years, you know, we realize that functionally, you know, he's no different to us, or we are no different to him, because he's our example. Then really we should function as humans in an identical way to the way that he functioned. That's a human indwelt by the life of God. So it was challenging to understand how did he walk and realize that no, he wasn't floating around 3 feet off the ground. You know, he did things exactly the same way that we did. So then, except that he did all these, you know, incredible works. And then he also then said, the works that I do, you also will do. So that is another challenge. So the outcome of all of this is, okay, personally, I am the expression of Jesus, in theory, and actually, but what does that mean on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis? How are my thoughts, how are those a function of him as the expression of me? So there's a lot of searching to understand just living as a son, and what does that mean in terms of thoughts, words, and deeds, if we are, and we are, the expression of him. So, and the biggest challenge, I think, of where I'm headed is when John says, and this must have been his experience as well, when he says, we just ask, you know, anything according to his will, and ta-da, you know, it's yours. Well, I'm not there yet, but I would like to know that I'm living and asking as he is living and asking, as you know, as a unit, as an entity, the two of us as a single entity, functioning and asking as one.
So can I ask a question?
I'm really enjoying this, you know, from the practical experiential side.
Can I ask a question that might get a little bit underneath that?
Okay.
Would be in looking at yourself, because that's what I'm asking us all kind of to do, and we really, I mean, the answer to who I am,
yes,
if we have that common human question that we all do, our assumption is we would testify that we're children of God, that we found out who we are by His hand, by His forgiveness of sins and His indwelling and so on. So my question would be, is this innate in me now? Is this part of me now that it's the desire of my person, my own heart, and this is the avenue to pursue the answer to that, to pursue God and the fellowship of His person? That isn't just something somebody said or I'm seeing surface in the scriptures, but I recognize it as that is what draws me or consumes me, and that's why you're doing it. Is this, you follow my question?
Yes, but I think it's where I'm up to in that is, well, yeah, hang on a minute. No, but it's not me, it's Him in me. So it's actually His expression, His desire.
My question, yes, I understand. My question is, do you have an option to engage if it's Him or not? I mean, what I'm looking for, why do I do each one of this? Why do I do that? Why do I? It's not just the Sabbath rest, but we're actually going after God.
Right.
I'm in pursuit of Him, and if He's resident in me, and I say, well, it's He who is in motivating me, encouraging me, drawing me, or whatever it is from within. I'm an agreed participant, or I become. How do I relate to that? In the sense of, I have no option. I mean, there isn't another because
no,
something's
right.
Oh, so that's what I'm looking for. Yes. Do we recognize and see that, or are we creating that psychological scenario in our minds, or in manipulating our desires in a pursuit of what seems to be a nice goal or quest that would be who cares other people, acceptable to me as a personal pursuit. And one would hope that it's not that, but...
No, there is no choice. All you want to do is, you want to just know more.
There is no place, there's nothing else to do. This is the one time during our weeks, and when we miss, it's a big loss, it seems like, when we're not together. But this is the one time that we're together in this room, and yes, you do a lot of the talking, and you have, you're older than us, and you've been around longer, and you have an understanding of His life that we don't have, and you're sharing with us, and we're all benefiting from that. I know we are, and it's like, this is the only thing we have. There's nothing else, and there's nothing else to live for except to know Him in this way. I mean, everything else to me that we have to do is peripheral. I mean, I love to be with the family. I love to do all the stuff, but this is the only important thing because, you know, in the future or in even now, how can I share anything with any of my family members if I don't know it? If it's just words on a page or something I heard in Sunday school, I think we all have this desire to for Him to just express Himself through us. You know, you especially love your loved ones, you know, sure you love your neighbor and your, you know, coworkers and stuff, but this is the only life this is the only place we share this kind of life. I would be probably just short of devastated if we didn't have these. It's meant that much to me. I mean, these notes and all that stuff that we read and take, it's everything.
I'm with Sony 100%. I know through my whole life, I know that the Lord had touched me now and, you know, on and off during my life as I searched for Him. But this is the first time in my life that it's actually a reality to where that this living God is living and breathing in me, and I'm beginning to know that. I've seen it in the scriptures in a small way before, and I never understood it, but this is the first time in my life that there is a hope in me, that I am His habitation, and He is pleasing Himself in me, and I can please Him. And no, He's pleasing Himself, and how can I put it? It means everything. I know I don't. How can I put it? There's such an expectation, and there's such a like that scripture that Jock, you know, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. There's such a hope in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a, these studies, it means everything. It's you know, it's like, Lord, open our ears to hear. Lord, help, let us not forget a thing that, you know, that you're saying to us. Let us show Yourself strong in our lives, you know, let Your life minister to those around us, you know. It's like I've been waiting my whole life for this. And I don't know how to really put it other than that. It's...
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like it's right. It's the season if there doesn't seem to be anybody else that we try to get to participate with us, but it seems to be a season that we... get to be, we're blessed to be able to be together. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it.
Good. Well, I'm looking for our at the root of all of us, a comprehension and understanding, a coming to type of reality which then in turn gives us a confidence, as you were touching on, Curtis, and as Sony just said, and Joffe, God's here. This is He's unfolding Himself to us. Our interaction and our dialogues, as they mature, are the fruit He wants to bear. And that's all well and good, but in that is my personal, each one of us, my personal growth in the fellowship with His person. I'm really, actually getting to know Him. In turn, more along what Joffe was saying, I recognize who I am and what I am in that mix. If Joffe uses terms more along the lines of as Him and it's He who is in me doing these things and so on in those scriptures and so forth, and there's a self recognition of our own persons in that, a part of this is I think we periodically need to evaluate not only are we going about this right and so on as far as scriptural approach. But the Holy Spirit has to be bearing fruit in us, and it's a unique fruit. It's a fruit of the fellowship of His person. In that, we know in a greater and greater way who we are as a child of God. And it's almost a blossoming forth in a maturity of Christ coming to His own self-recognition as He walked the planet. Because He wasn't born knowing who He was in a certain context. And neither, and we did not, I'd suggest, until we came to an actual place of being his child. Prior to that, we didn't have a clue who we were. Even then, we barely had a clue. But we came to a self-recognition of, it's my Creator and me now. And here it is, my Creator and me now too. But there's we, in a certain sense, we've yielded and surrendered to how the Holy Spirit's doing this. Myself included. We've yielded and surrendered. Holy Spirit's doing this. And on my side of it, we want to make sure that indeed that's a common happening every time. And it pushes, and I want to push us to come to an awareness of not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, but his teaching, personally, active, real. And I don't mean theological teaching. I mean teaching us of the life we have in fellowship with him. Am I making sense? Okay. We don't have to push that any farther, I guess, unless you guys would like to, unless you guys want to push a little more, I'm really asking you to self-reflect and continue to do so. Continue to do so. Because what is it that forces us to deal with intimately with the Holy Spirit. And he is the one we really need to get to know that he's our life. In turn, a confidence and an assurance grows, Curtis, as you touched on, that you're a child of God. That hope is real. Well, anyway, we kind of touched on that maybe enough. It segues into part of something else that we wanted to do today. We're doing pretty good. It's, in the prayers that we have from Paul in Ephesians, and I think I'll read those, and then in Colossians, what we want to do with that is we want to commit those to memory, if you haven't already, and use those in an active, aggressive sense on a daily basis to remain focused, not as an exercise or a discipline, but as an unfolding deeper and deeper into the mind and heart of God. And right before I read those, we might just talk just briefly of how God teaches us. How he teaches us. We've talked before, the Old Testament, the whole portrait of mankind and God from Genesis to Christ was he was outside. And he taught externally. And then when Christ came, he could take up his residence in the man that he made for himself and teach him about himself, as we have been studying in John, by means of a recognition of a life that is divine, is holy, is righteous and pure, and lo and behold, it's in me. And we see evidence of it coming out in love and lack of hatred and all that type of stuff. So in praying the prayers of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we see God's mind and heart. How is he going to teach me about himself? And we've been looking at this, that I see love come out, and then I recognize that God's love. I know what God's love is like because I taste it, feel it, and I'm being it, so to speak. And that's what God looks like. Externally, we still have that. Is that I see his hand interfere. I'm making this personal. In my life, he kept me from an auto accident, or he did this or that, and there's different times where we see those kind of external manifestations. I'm assuming you've all experienced, not necessarily the auto accident stuff, but God's hand. Oh, God just did something. Or the simple one that I would testify to is true. I lost something, I prayed, and he showed me where it was, and when I saw it, he showed me, I told you that's where it was. you know, something like that. But those are very simple. But and they can get very, very complicated in the answer to our prayers. But all those are external. There's confirmation that comes spiritually in our minds and our hearts. But they're external. And what we've been talking about in 1 John in reference to his life is a recognition of an assurance that I have eternal life. What we've been coming to is, what we're really talking about today, is that it is the life of God, what he wants to get us to in the sense of I have eternal life, is that it's my life. Mm-hmm. It's my life, and that's what Geoff is kind of dealing with, in the sense of I want a confidence and assurance that I want to know it as he knows it. Mm-hmm. The life of God is my very own. And not that, and not have that gap between me and God. Right. And that transition is what we're after in the sense of the Sabbath rest. Yeah. But that's the gap. We're a child of God. We're full of assurance and confidence. He continually teaches us and shows us internally. But there's a teaching he wants us, wants the Holy Spirit wants us to bring to. It's almost a surrender up to that it indeed is. And again, this has to be referenced and received in a proper context. That it's the I am. Mm-hmm. And you, I think you know what I mean. This is the life of God coming out of me, and then this is life and. I'm life. I'm the expression of life. Mm-hmm. And that is well beyond egotistical, puffed up pride or man's quest to become God. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with that stuff. Mm-hmm. All the theological arguments historically about that, or the taboos of identifying with God too much and all that type of stuff, he does away with all that and wants us to enjoy his person as one with him. And he doesn't disappear, we don't disappear, we don't become him and all that type of stuff. But his experience of life is what he made us for. Mm-hmm. His life. So in God answering prayer, what we want to look at in those prayers is that indeed we want him to answer those prayers in the sense of to know, understand, comprehend his will and mind for us. But it brings us into a realm of how he wants to teach us how his heart, mind, and will as our own. Right. As our own. His will is ours. Not that I want to do his will. Mm-hmm. It's that's my will be done. Mm-hmm. That's what he made us for. And again, I know this borders on getting into the mystical type of stuff and all that, but it's extremely practical when it's the Holy Spirit who's teaching us and so on. It's just down-to-earth, real life.
Yeah.
Am I making...
Yeah.
Okay. And so, if that first section we're done with in the sense of, this is where we want to be, I know why I'm here, this is what I want to do, there's no time in the future where I'll look back and say, boy, I wasted my time type of thing. We don't want to be about that. Mm-hmm. We're not after that. If what we're doing, and each one of us is happy with that, is that as a group we're after God, and as an individual, this is how the Holy Spirit's leading me to be after the fellowship with this person. Mm-hmm. And in my life, there's nothing else and there's no other way, it indeed is him. And so then that's answered, and then now I'm sharing this stuff and looking at it this way, just in the sense of hitting at a little bit more intimately as we take 1 John a bit farther in our honesty with ourselves, and that's where the Holy Spirit's brought us. And if you recall, we started out a long time ago of whether I was in and out of sin or not when we first sat down here. We didn't even know if we could testify that we're Christians with a confidence. We didn't know what that was. If, you know, as we've come along.
And the big encouragement as well is reading John and reading Paul and understanding that they were coming from a practical, experiential point of view, not from a theoretical theological perspective. So again, my prayer is, Lord, I want the same understanding that Jesus had, that Paul had, that John had, that the apostles had in terms of who they were. And it's encouraging that they were just like us and they had the understanding, so here we are. You know, we can get that understanding.
Yeah, and then we see that that's what's behind Paul penning his prayer or and the things John says and so on, is it's just, and that's the desire that they have for their brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Same one they have for themselves. Again, that's the one we would have for ourselves, but for those that we would share the gospel with.
Yes.
Anybody have a comment or question? We could spend more time, maybe we will, then next week in reference to God personally teaching us the reality of his life as our very own. We've talked about it endlessly. Mm-hmm. But it has to be happening and true for each one of us as we continue to meet. Otherwise, we're spinning our wheels and wasting time, and we need to be at something else. Mm-hmm. If this is a exercise and what it means to be a good Christian, we need to be about doing something else.
The fun part is, though, that, again, understanding that he orders our steps. So he orchestrates all of our circumstances. And often for the express purpose of seeing him, you know, in our circumstances. So, you know, when they're a bit bumpy, that's an opportunity, because it's not a surprise to him. So, you know, he's looking to his son, okay, you know, and your response to this is, and that's how I think we learn, and all of this becomes that much more practical on a daily basis, understanding that, yeah, these circumstances are of him for our education, for our training, for our discipline, and what's our response?
The one ultimate goal of I know the Holy Spirit is after here, and we as a group, in reference to others, is as living witnesses and testimonies of being his children and his house, is the end result of all this is the absolute sheer unfettered joy of wanting somebody else to know him. Mm-hmm. And we have to, as Sonny said earlier, we have to know him. Yeah. We have to know him to the degree that our Lord knew him. Yeah. And that's all he lived for, was to introduce other people to his Father. Mm-hmm. And so I know we can see, well, we might be a distance from that in our experience. But that's where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. Because then we're totally and 100% at rest in his person. And the most exciting thing in life is to really tell somebody else about him. And I want you, Jesus, you really need to know Jesus and what that means. And I know early on in my Christian life, when I first became a Christian and so on, it seemed like, and I would assume it was the same for you guys, is that people were really excited about getting to know Jesus. I mean, they were excited. They ran around like crazy people. You know, there's quite a movement in the States here in regard to that. Maybe you'll cross the water. But if you guys remember, you had Jesus people movement and all that type of stuff, and there are all kinds of rationalizations about it, but I remember people being tremendously excited, and it was forgiveness of sins and so on. What we're talking about is knowing him resident in you is your life, and it's eternal. And nothing more than that. It's not, I want to teach you about this, I want to teach you about that, I want to tell you this, you got to get your doctrine straight, you got to do this and that, and there's peace available to you if you just get these things. No, it's just getting to know this person. So he's after us to get to that place in rest and trust and reliance in Him, that He's our all in all. Mm-hmm. I know we testify to that, but in reality, and we know in our own lives that we might be grappling with some of that. And of course, that's what John's after, to bring us to the end of all that. Okay. Oh, maybe one comment. Of course, this was in the middle of the London Bridge and the experience of looking over and seeing the machine gun stuff from World War II on the side of the bridge, which is pretty cool. Where the battle, they came down, I think it was a Battle of Britain, they came down and it's in the bridge that was part of the vase, is where it was strafed by the machine guns, and also a rocket of some sort. I don't know what they were shooting from the German planes, but hit one area and it's chipped out, and then the machine, and that was pretty cool. But I'm drifting a bit. I should have taken a picture for you. Mm-hmm. True doctrine is only known by internal revelation of His person. And this has been something I've been working on for quite a few years, is that the development of doctrine from the time Christ, post-Christ, He was crucified, and the church began, and we have in the, before 100 and then a little bit after AD, we have the New Testament developed, and so on, and started to be passed around, and then eventually different doctrines were formulated by groups of Christians trying to identify common belief, mm-hmm. and so on. And historically, then we go back to the development on an academic side of how Christian the teachings of the church as a whole were developed. And it's everything from, first we see, what do we believe about the Father, or about the Son, or about the Trinity, or about the Holy Spirit, all that type of stuff. And so we see that. But what we're dealing with is we're in the experience of the actual, how the Holy Spirit developed true doctrine. Now, you won't find this written anyplace. But how true doctrine was developed was by a child of God being taught by the Holy Spirit an understanding of the reality of the Father and who He was, or the Trinity. And all this type of stuff has to do with internal revelation of the person of God. Mm-hmm. If you look at the external stuff, you couldn't really come to an understanding that God is love unless you knew what it was. We have a doctrine that God is love, and He's light, mm-hmm. and He's this type of stuff. And predominantly for the validation of it, we go to the written scriptures. Historically, the church has always done that. Mm-hmm. So once the scriptures were penned, and then groups of people started to gather together and formulate beliefs and things like that, you had the Old Testament and a lot of that brought over. But so you had external teaching of God about He's all powerful and He's the Creator, and He Himself gave that revelation to the Israelites and all that type of stuff. But the doctrine we're talking about is the true doctrine of the person of God in His life, and that's what the church is founded on, and that's what the Holy Spirit's teaching us. We know Jesus Christ was real because we've experienced it at the very least in the blood of Jesus Christ, and the validity that it forgave our sin, and the reality it forgave our sins. God forgave our sins because He brought the curse to an end. And you couldn't come up with that unless you knew its occurrence. And originally, as Geoff just got through saying, Paul or John or Peter experienced salvation, told other people about it, and then it started to get a part in how you present the gospel to somebody. It shortened it a bit. And then it started to become... codified or doctrine, or written doctrine or teachings of the church and so on. And that's how but it got developed by the actual reality of the life of God and Christ in the believer. And I just as a side, that's what we're about. We are being taught by the Holy Spirit, and we are discovering the reality of the person of God Himself. We are no longer dependent upon... we know the living word. The written word isn't going to save us. The living word is going to save us, and we know Him, and we can know true doctrine or true teachings of the Holy Spirit because we know it. It's part of us. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. This, I mean, we could write that down totally different, but we're dealing with real reality. And here's another question, just as an aside, an observation that I guess we could answer real quickly is, how, as we pursue this together and so on, how often and how many might there be third-party books that are giving you some satisfaction? And that's a test of what if we're dealing with real life and real reality. Mm-hmm. Where else is somebody writing down something that I find to be they can be edifying, but begin to teach me something like the Holy Spirit's teaching me? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen my library, and over the years. Just for myself, I read less and less and less and less. You go more into the Word, into Christ, into looking after, praying, and going after the Holy Spirit, and so on. And I suppose there could be an inherent danger in that, in the sense of, but other people can't teach us what the Holy Spirit's teaching us. That isn't to defend. You know, that's part of why in the world do you listen to me? We have to be finding this stuff out together. And be satisfied. If we're not satisfied, then it's not the Holy Spirit. Then we'd find somebody else saying something. Oh, this is attractive. It looks good, or maybe I should pursue. If you know what I mean, I'm getting devotional edified by someone else. I might get a mutual testimony, which would be nice if we could find a few of those. But this has to be satisfying to the drawing of the Holy Spirit to us. Or it needs to come from someplace else. When it ceases to be satisfying here in that regard, we need to be about something else. So that was the generation of why I started today's outlet.
Right. Yeah, often the question comes up, and as Sonia said, Lord, what else would we do? We have nothing apart from you.
Yeah.
And
he's here, he's not.
And the opposite is, we have everything in you. And that's when you realize, Lord, it's you. It's just you. Lord, it's you.
Maybe because we're getting to know each other as a family, we burned through so many people and so much stuff throughout the years of our lives, mm-hmm. and found them to be. Come up a bit short. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, anybody have anything else they'd like to share in regard to this? This is kind of a year-end summary reassessment to attack fresh and alive again.
And in terms of, you know, listening to you, Mark, I think when we first started doing the Foundation series, one of the goals was if we could save people time from not having to sort through all of this stuff to come to an understanding of the mechanics, you know, that's all on the theory side. And I think the same thing here is that because your understanding is greater, then it's of tremendous benefit, because probably as we seek the Lord, you know, in, I don't know, 10 years or 20 years down the road, we would come to a similar understanding. But in this way, it's much more cost effective. as you are willing to share, you know, your understanding and your experience with us, then it helps us. Now, as you've said, though, it's still back to the Holy Spirit to reveal it to each of us. So we're not living, you know, your life by rote. No, we're living our own life from our own experience, but with your guidance, just to know.
Well, yeah, and hopefully we're
together.
We're hand in hand walking with John.
Yes.
Who John by the Holy Spirit should be. Each one of us want to go where John wants to take us to the end of his epistle, and farther than that. But that has to be personally true for each one of us, mm-hmm. and then we're together as a group talking about it. That's all we're doing is talking about it.
Right. I was thinking of a scripture the other day, this was a scripture that I held on to years ago, but I didn't understand it. But it's just a simple scripture that says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking, you know, that used to be a doctrinal thing.
Yeah.
Where I'd study the scriptures, and I thought, you know, okay, well, I'm here a little, there a little, line upon line. And thinking the other day, no, this isn't at all what that is. This is a real, true understanding that of his life, of who he is, who we are, that really becomes who we are and what we are. And and I was thinking about that, you know, if we could somehow just be aware of, you know, I was thinking if we could just be more aware of the Holy Spirit day by day, and to where that as he leads and guides, to really not miss a thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it, but...
Well, yeah. Well, look at... If we look at John, and each one of us, we look individually and we look together, and so on, all he's doing is line by line, showing the brothers and sisters what's going on in their lives. And he points out to them that that's the life of God in you. Until he can bring them to a place of full confidence, he's walking them through to a full confidence that they know indeed that this is the life of God. And he's lifted them up and out of a turmoil and perplexity about being in and out of sin. He does that in the second chapter, mm-hmm. and confirms it again by the supernatural divine power. The nature of God is theirs. I mean, you can't say it any more clearly. The comprehension of that's something else. But you actually have the nature of God, and that's what's in you. I mean, if we take a few minutes and contemplate that thing, I mean, that's an absolute mind blower. And that's in the third chapter, and he's got two more chapters to go, and we're up in that part of it. But that's what he's doing in a very simple. He's not bringing anything new to the brothers and sisters. God's not going to bring anything new to you or me that we don't already have. He's simply going to expose our comprehension and understanding of the wonder of him inside of us. I mean, we're always looking for something that we don't have that we can get. Mm-hmm. And if you look at how John does it, you know, just as an encouragement to us, and we all hold true to we don't need anything more than the scriptures themselves, in the sense of the tools the Holy Spirit wants to use. He uses it's the wonder of the scriptures, the reality that we live in our daily in and out events of happiness and sadness and being bummed out and elated, or things are okay, or all that in the midst of the life that's within us, to point to us that you have the life of God. that you have the life of God. Mm-hmm. Initially getting us past that I have experienced the forgiveness of my sins and accept the reality that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient, curse and all the rest of that type of stuff. Well, anyway, this hopefully what I'd encourage us to do is read more often that you have 1 John through and through, Ephesians through and through, Colossians through and through. Just read it and read it and read it and read it and shout, cry out, pull down, perplex, drive the Holy Spirit crazy by demanding, why are you saying this stuff? What is it? What's going on here? Because our minds need to be brought into order. No matter how good we think our minds are, he uses these minds to bring revelation and understanding to complement and to confirm what we're in the experience of. We're a being that is God's honing to be a well-rounded, balanced person in fellowship with him, can walk through planet Earth as Jesus did, not being torn apart and perplexed by the reality we're in, other than probably periodically being brought to tears as he was. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got to read John, read it again, read it again, read it. When we come together, it's fresh, we're struggling with it, wrestling with it. And the next paragraph is an awesome one, the one about if our heart condemns us.
Right.
You know, I mean, that mm-hmm. baby's going to drive us nuts unless we get a handle on it. Mm-hmm. Why is John saying it? Why does he say it like this? It looks like contradiction, and it's not a contradiction. What's that got to do with the life of God? And how's this working? And the Holy Spirit's anxious to help us understand. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Hopefully I appreciate your patience with me ranting there a little bit, but anybody have any comments or questions? My assumption is we're all at a place, because you haven't voiced any opposition, that we're all quite comfortable with mm-hmm. continuing to engage and challenge each other and take apart the word and so on and so on. We're good?
Yeah, good.
Well, Mr. Busy Man, we'll let you out a few minutes early, maybe.
I'll give Grandma a hug.
Yeah. Well, let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of study. Lord, it's beyond our comprehension how we can even come before a God who's created all things, who's such a wonder, and how you can know each one of us intimately and have come, and the salvation you've given us, redemption to bring us from fallen to a place of being a new creature and filled with your presence and your person, and to be taught by you is a wonder beyond our ability to comprehend. We just want to give you thanks and trust you, Lord, as we would move ahead to make out of our group what you want it to be. Not only would you be our teacher and our guide, but Lord, you would share your life in us and through us to all those that you have us involved with. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen.